Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday, May 18th in the year of our Lord 2017, and I am your host today, Brian Chaffin, filling in for Jeff Gamet. And joining me today is the esteemed, the honorable, the gentlemanly Mr. John Martellaro.
Aw, shucks. Thank you, Brian. Nice to be here. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And also joining us is the lovely, the talented, the bearded, with all due respect to Jim Dalrymple, Jeff Butts.
Hey, how's it going?
It goes mostly forward, sometimes a little sideways.
Yeah,
a little quarter step back every once in a while, but it's a generally forward kind of direction.
As long as you don't go too far backwards, it's all good.
Well, speaking of backwards, Apple took what I think is a backward step, and they have made developers take out the ability to tip in chat apps in China. And the stated reason, according to the Wall Street Journal, is that they view tipping as an in-app purchase. Therefore, they should get 30%. And since they weren't getting the 30%, they made the developers in China take that out.
That's the key phrase. Apple, according to Mac Rumors, Apple has decided.
It's actually according to the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, but I'm using the language that I see in the Mac Rumors article. I don't know if they drew that from the Wall Street Journal or not. So the question is tips called out in the terms, or is this a decision Apple's made to decide that tips are included and are equivalent to an app purchase? That's the question, because it seems kind of arbitrary, and it seems like it's, if Apple has the liberty to interpret its own rules, then it has the liberty to be gracious about trying to strong arm tips.
Well, I have a fundamental issue with this. I have a fundamental issue with this.
Me too.
The fundamental issue is I'm okay with Apple saying this is our store. This is our platform. If you want to play in our store and if you want to play in our platform, we get 30%. I think that Apple does so to its detriment sometimes. For instance, I believe that Apple would have benefited by making, say, iPad the premier shopping environment for Amazon Kindle. So if you're going to buy your books on Amazon as opposed to iBooks or anywhere else, I believe that Apple would have benefited greatly by having the most pleasant and wonderful shopping experience be on the iPad and not, say, on a browser or not, say, on a competing device. And instead, Apple said, no, we got to have our 30%. And the reality is that there is no extra 30% in a lot of markets. There's the money just doesn't exist. And so those people pull out, and I think that's a problem. But whatever, Apple gets to set its own rules. But I think there's a fundamental difference between Apple claiming 30% from an in-app purchase and Apple wanting 30% of the money that I send to John because John just did me a favor over a chat app.
I'm right there with you, Brian.
And not absolutely. Just because I'm sending you money.
Well, the analogy I think of is a restaurant where a server works really hard for her tips. And of course, she has to pay federal and state withholding. But for the restaurant to say, okay, after you pay applicable taxes, we're going to extract 20% of your tip for the cost of doing business and the privilege of you working here. That would really be annoying.
Well, to be fair, in that analogy, the restaurant is already doing that by paying the waitstaff a pittance because they get tips. But
yeah,
whatever.
Right. That's, it's just double insult.
That would be double insult. Jeff, what do you think of this?
You know what? I don't agree with it at all. I don't agree with it at all. To me, it's not so much about taking away the tips. It's one of the executives said Apple doesn't do anything, or Apple gets 30% for doing nothing. You know, it's like it would be like if they started to monetize transferring cash through Facebook Messenger.
Well, it's that actually is a terrific analogy. And I wouldn't say that Apple is doing nothing, because Apple is maintaining the ecosystem. Apple is maintaining the App Store where these things are being sold. I'm less concerned about whether or not Apple is doing nothing and more concerned about the practical reality of making their devices the premier platform for doing things. And there are some cases where they cannot do that and take out a cut. And so they're slicing off their nose to spite their face in this particular case.
My angle is that this is a cultural thing. The article I'm looking at says the annoyance stems from the way tipping culture is viewed in China. And I think Apple has to recognize that. Otherwise, they're just going to irritate the Chinese authorities and then they're going to suffer for it.
But let me take that a little bit bigger. And what if we're also looking at a tipping culture in other parts of the web, to wit, Bitcoin tipping and Twitter, there's a service that allows you to send someone a tip, change tip. Really interesting service. It allows you to send someone a tip over Twitter. You could embed their API into a website like the Mac Observer.
Right.
And that's just one possibility. There's tipping that takes place on Reddit, where people can tip someone for a particularly insightful post. And I'm looking even bigger than that at the idea, and this has been talked about for a long time, but the idea where micro payments take the place of advertising for content. So when you go and read an article, say at the Mac Observer, that article, the act of reading that article, you might pay a penny to read the article, or a quarter, or you know whatever the site might change, might charge, or it could be voluntary, whatever. The point is that micropayments are kind of a future. Tipping is definitely a way for people to show appreciation, and I don't think the platform providers are necessarily entitled to a cut of that.
They can if they can muscle their way into it and force the issue like Apple's forcing the issue. But, you know, since when does ethical grounds ever come into play here when it comes to internet commerce and technical muscle?
But I'm not even worried about the ethics of it. Apple can argue this. Now, I'm going to guess, by the way, I am going to guess that Chinese regulators are going to rule against Apple on this.
I would bet.
Yes.
For a couple of reasons. One, screw the Western company in favor of the local company. And WeChat is the thing, right? I mean, it is a cultural phenomenon within China. But so you got the chance to support the local company against the Western company, and they are particularly leery of Apple's potential for dominance within China. So I think that regulators are going to rule against Apple on this anyway. But again, I'm less concerned about the ethics of what's happening, and I'm more concerned about the practical effect. Apple will benefit more by having their device be the premier platform than it will from trying to nickel and dime.
Well, we already know that there are businessmen in China who are trying to take Apple's iPhone business away.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, a couple of the companies are mentioned in the article I was looking at. I forget the names of the competitors to Apple in China. It's Vivo, Huawei. I'm trying to remember.
There's Huawei is one, but you're thinking in particular of the guy who thinks he's Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve Jobs. What's his name? Is the oh my goodness. Xiaomi is the name of the company. They're the up and coming Chinese manufacturer that makes hot looking items that run Android and have been extraordinarily successful in China and have seen some success outside of China too.
Vivo, Oppo, and Huawei. So I think it's politically unsmart for Apple to go against the grain on this and to decide to interpret the rules as to be gracious, because as you say, they're just opening the door to a decision against them in order to promote their own companies that are selling smartphones.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. That's true. And this could definitely chase people to other platforms. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a short-sighted decision, in my opinion. And I'm going to guess that if Apple's lucky, Chinese regulators will quickly rule against Apple and take this out of their hands, and business can continue accordingly. All right. Well, it's an interesting development. It really does bear watching. I think that this is a topic that is going to gain prominence in other markets and in other ways as time goes on, and as blockchain technology in particular makes micropayments of all sorts more affordable and doable. And yeah, got to keep our eye on this one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, John Martellaro, you were talking about, you were writing about yesterday, the Apple Park campus and what you called Apple's celebration of the employee. So why don't you explain it to us?
One of the things that's been on my mind lately is a lot of discussion about artificial intelligence, about companies that are automating, about the replacing workers in Amazon warehouses with machines, robots, that companies, and I'm very familiar with this phenomena of trying to cut back on employees in order to roll more money upwards and to create a sense of success with the company, because they don't have very many employees to drain their revenues with those awful things like salaries and health benefits and so on. So one of the things that struck me after I read Stephen Levy's article about the mothership and its design and Steve's vision and his special feelings about how a workplace should interact with nature, and his insistence that the woods be cut at a certain time of year to have just the right sugar content in them and the right texture.
Wait, did you get the part though where they ended up not doing that?
Well, but that's all part of Steve's design and vision for a building that connects employees with each other and with nature. And the Stephen Levy article was brief and wonderful and stellar and focused on all these discussions that Steve had with the architectural design firm. But what I took away from the article at the end was this experience that Steve had building the Macintosh and the teams that he built to change the world originally with the Macintosh and at Pixar and at Next, and then coming back to Apple and continuing to understand the importance of how a large team of very smart, motivated, passionate individuals can do wonderful things. And in that sense, this building is a sort of a monument to the individual employee and the groups that they work in. And if it works out, and if this building for the next century promotes that kind of collaboration and communication and passion and vision amongst people working in an awesome environment and build great products, it's going to be a testament to Steve's vision and his faith in the individual employee and the groups and the collaboration. If it doesn't work out, if Apple fails, it's going to be sort of a bad testament to the old way of thinking about how employees work in a corporation. And so I'm rooting for the success of Apple in that regard. In many, many more ways I root for Apple, but this is just one more way, because this building is a homage and a testament to how human beings can work together using their minds to build great things and to inspire people and to make the world a better place. That's what I took away from the Stephen Levy article, and that's what I wanted to elaborate on it.
I took something a little bit different away, John.
Interesting. What was your take?
This is tangential to what you're saying, because you're probably right. Although I'm not sure I fully buy into the idea that that Steve's vision was a celebration of the individual employee. I like where you're going with that. I'm not sure I can fully buy into it. But what I took away from it is the near the end of the article. It's a fantastic article. If you have not read this article in Wired magazine and you're interested in Apple, you should go read it. But the thing I took away is near the end, Stephen Levy starts talking about all the pushback from other designers of corporate headquarters other corporations.
I quoted one of them. Yeah.
And please go ahead, Jeff.
That's my biggest concern is that key issue right there. No,
that the building isn't designed for the future.
It's not designed for the future. It's not designed the way that other tech companies have been.
Yeah. All right. But
creating their workplaces.
Yeah. So I'm going to stop you right there. That to me is the sign that Apple's doing something right. When you're getting pushback from the mainstream, you're probably doing something right.
The low level visionaries, as opposed to Steve Jobs, the high level visionaries.
Yeah. I mean, you look at every building that is considered iconic, it got pushback. Every single building that is considered iconic got pushback at first. And I feel like this building is going to be the same. This includes, by the way, the Gherkin building, that the same designer that designed Apple's headquarters, Norman Foster, right? He designed the Gherkin building in London, which I happen to think is a gloriously beautiful building.
Me too.
It got a lot of pushback and a lot of complaints and a lot of criticism at first. And now, of course, Everybody thinks it's the bee's knees. But that's just one example. Go ahead, Jeff.
It's a gorgeous building. Don't get me wrong. It's absolutely phenomenal. I don't understand how it can be construed as creating a workplace that celebrates and nurtures the employee when it disregards one of the key concerns that many of its employees have.
Childcare?
Yeah.
Yeah, that honestly, that feels like a weird choice for Apple. It seems like Apple would want to provide this particular benefit to its employees. So what we're saying, by the way, is and there has been a lot of noise about this, especially from the left, talking about Apple's decision not to have any childcare facilities on site. And that flies in the face of what all the other tech companies are doing. And keep in mind, in Silicon Valley right now, competition for employees is extraordinary.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the perks and benefits have been steadily escalating. And one of the things that has steadily escalated is on-site childcare facilities. And this is something that Apple has eschewed in this building. And I don't, that is a weird choice to me. I'm not sure why Apple would make that particular choice. But at the same time, Jeff, that is just one little thing. And that's not all of the pushback that Apple's getting from other folks on this.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I agree. It resonates with me as a father of younger children. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah. We don't provide you any child care facilities either. You know?
No, you don't. And you know what? I think it's time to renegotiate my contract.
The only thing I can think of, Brian, is that it's driven by perhaps the legacy of Steve, where he wants people to be able to come in and work and be free of other family concerns and to focus on their work and not be distracted. I remember those legendary stories about the original Macintosh team, about how they had the meeting room with the piano and they brought in pizza and people worked until 1 a.m. And it's hard to have a team, like a military team, like a SEAL team, marching team in a military sense. It's hard to have a team functioning together like a well-oiled machine, interacting with each other, being brilliant, being dedicated, working long hours, and could reconcile that with, you know, having to run off and take care of your kid.
Yeah, well, hold on.
As noble as that is.
I'm going to turn that back on your head, brother.
I'm just saying maybe that's the thought. I'm grasping for straws here.
So two things. One, having to worry about your kids on site is actually the practice has found heretofore that is less problematic than actually worrying about your kids off site.
I know.
And, right. And on top of that, Steve himself, he cared about family, especially in his later years. At least he cared about his own family.
And the only idea I could come up with, but you're right. It's still open for discussion.
Yeah, I wonder if Apple won't. Is it possible this was like an oversight that everybody involved was just so?
Oh, there was nothing overlooked in this building.
I know, right? I know. You're so right, man. It's a weird choice. That said, aside from the child care issue, aside from the on-site child care issue, I think that the mere fact that this building is getting so much pushback about its design, about its layout, people saying that that's not what everybody else is doing, that to me is a sign that Apple is doing something that's probably going to be considered great.
I have a hunch you're right, Brian. I like your instincts.
Yay me!
Yay!
Yay me! All right. Well, that is it, unfortunately. We are out of time, so we're going to have to wrap it up, and I would like to thank Mr. Jeff Butts for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Mr. John Martellaro, you too.
You're very welcome. It was great to be here.
And Jeff Gamet will be back on Friday.
Monday.
Friday.
Friday. Yeah. Sorry, Friday.
Friday, May 19th. Not April 19th, John Martellaro. And in the meanwhile, thanks everybody for joining us. We very much appreciate it.